a turnip if Jesus is still dead? Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
Hello, I'm Mike Kellogg, and this is Key Life, a program designed to tell Christians that God isn't mad at them. Bible teaching to help get you home. Here's Steve.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, open it to 1 Corinthians 15, 16 through 19. I'm doing something kind of unusual. I'm trying to put myself in the skin of a pagan. And I'm trying to look at what it would be like if Jesus never came back from the dead. And we're breaking from our regular Old Testament survey. Now, if you've been with us, we're looking at 1 Corinthians 15, 16 through 19. And you need to recognize, for those of you who are ready to write a letter and say, Steve, that's not an appropriate thing to do, to know that that's exactly what Paul did in 1 Corinthians 15, 16 through 19, when he was talking about the resurrection of Christ. Now, I'm not going to take the time to read that text. We've read it a couple of times this week. However, if you have your Bible, open it to the text, because I'll be referring to it as we go along. Now, we have seen that if Jesus remained dead, it says something about God's existence and his nature. 1 Corinthians 15, 15, we are even found to be misrepresenting God. And I suggested that I simply wouldn't believe in God if there had been no resurrection of Christ. And then yesterday I suggested that there were three things that I wanted to show you that Paul brings up using his outline. Three things about human beings and nature of human beings if Jesus is still dead. 1 Corinthians 15, 17, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. I did my clinical training at the Harvard Experimental Hospital in Boston. I want you to know that was an interesting thing, mainly because I realized that I was probably worse off than a lot of people I was working with, or with whom I was working for you English teachers. And let me tell you one thing I learned. I learned that without hardly a single exception, that almost everybody that I worked with in that hospital, Mass Mental Health, had a significant, major, big-time problem with guilt. I want you to know that I teach in a theological seminary, and it's not altogether different. I don't know a single person planning for ministry. And Reformed Theological Seminary is a large seminary. It's one of the largest 10 in the world. It's highly accredited. They have a peon like me who's teaching with Harvard PhDs and Duke PhDs and PhDs from Oxford and Cambridge. But I want you to know, without exception, professors and students have a significant problem with guilt. And you do too. Now, Paul is saying that if you're guilty about something, deal with it. If you're guilty, you're going to be miserable the rest of your life. If you're guilty, then tough stuff. You see, the Christian faith claims to take actual sin that produces actual guilt and put it on a cross, and to take care of it vicariously. It claims to take a person's guilt, forgive it, set him or her free, and make him or her clean. Claims it because it has seen the cross and the empty tomb. If it didn't happen, there's no resource. You say you're guilty. You say you can't live with yourself. You say you want to die. Tough. So Paul says there's something about guilt. I want you to know the good news of the gospel is such good news, because all of us live lives that are so much less than the way we thought we ought to live them. I still do. You say, well, you don't sound very guilty. I'm not guilty. I'm not guilty at all. Guilt has only one purpose for me, and that's to drive me to the throne of grace. And once it's done that, it's done what it's supposed to do. Unless, of course, Jesus was just another thief dying on a cross, and they buried him, and he stayed there. Now, let me show you something else. I said I was going to show you three things about human nature if Jesus remained in the grave. Paul says that if Christ died and stayed dead, then there's no meaning. And you're a turnip and you're going to go back to the dust, and that's all there is to say about that. Men must work and women must weep, and the sooner it's over, the sooner to sleep. 1 Corinthians 15:18. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Point is this, there's no positive evidence of anything beyond this life, and the resurrection is the only positive evidence I know. You say, well, what about mediums? What, are you crazy? Then don't give me that stuff about living on for your race, or living through your children, or living through the generations. Balderdash. Because the generations are going to die, and someday somebody's going to push the button on a bomb, and a real shooting match is going to start, and it's all going to be over. Matthew Arnold wrote the following: most men eddy about here and there, gather, squander, eat, drink, love, hate, are raised aloft and hurled in the dust, and then they die, and nobody asks who or what they have been any more than he asks what waves o' the midmost ocean that foam for a moment, and then died. You know, I'm constantly amazed at the number of people who, having denied the only view we've ever had of life after death from the other side, still hang on to a belief of immortality. They grab for straws floating in the wind, reincarnation, spiritualism, seances, medium, superstition. Face it. When you're facing death, you're facing the ultimate end of everything if Christ be not raised. But he was raised. Peggy Lee said it in a song. Is that all there is? Yeah. If Jesus is dead, that's all there is. Thirdly, Paul had something to say about us in another way. He said that life is utterly meaningless. Listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians 15:19. He says, if for this life only we've hoped in Christ, we are of all men, and you can parenthetically put in, if you want to, women, most to be pitied. There's a philosopher who likens human beings and freedom of will to someone who takes a rock and throws it in the air. Philosopher says, suppose that rock should achieve self-consciousness while it was in the air. That rock would say to itself, I have determined the path of my flight. I have determined where I'm going to land. I am free. I'm worth something. I'm valuable. I am. And the philosopher says, nonsense. If Christ is not raised from the dead, there is no good or bad. If Christ isn't raised from the dead, there's no evil, there's no love, there's no hate, there's no difference. You want some meaning in your life? Collect matchbook covers or or stomp on Dixie cups. Or you want some meaning in your life? Contemplate your navel, because that's as good as anything else. You want some meaning in your life? Create another Dachau, because that's as good as anything else. If Christ be not raised from the dead, then men must work and women must weep, and the sooner it's over, the sooner to sleep. You see, if Christ is not the one who came back from the dead, these are the facts. Like them or not, you're walking a long, lonely road between two hospitals, between a birth and a death. And if you're predisposed to do so, you stop somewhere down that road for a minute, you look up in the sky, and you say, who am I, and what am I doing here, what am I doing? Where am I going? Then you listen until your ears drop off and you hear nothing but the cold, dead, hollow, empty silence. William Henley wrote, matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishment the scroll. I'm the master of my fate. I'm the captain of my soul. Yeah, and that ain't no great shakes. I just want you to know that, unless it's true. Unless Jesus got up from the dead, then that means everything he taught us, everything he said to us, the fact that we could do it too, becomes ultimately meaningful and true, or as Francis Schaeffer put it, true truth. And so the question is, what if it's true? I mean, what if it really did happen? What if Jesus was really God? What if he spoke God's word? What if he died on a cross, was dead and buried, and then got up and walked and talked about it? What if Jesus Christ is right here in this studio right now? What if it's all true? It kind of reverses everything I've been teaching you this week. The question of the life and death of Jesus Christ isn't up for debate. I want to say this right now. Those people who say Jesus never existed are, don't listen, don't buy a used car from them. They simply haven't checked out the records. They simply don't know what they're talking about. They simply are not aware of the factual extra biblical resources that suggest at minimum there was a Nazarene carpenter by the name of Jesus and that he lived. Now, being the great logician that I am, let's look at logic 101. If the statistic is one out of one, if nobody ever in the history of the entire universe got out of this thing alive, if everybody dies, then logic assumes that this Nazarene carpenter who lived in the first century died. Now, that's a fact. That means that the life and the death of Jesus aren't even up for debate, so I'm not even going to deal with that. But tomorrow, we're going to find out if that dead man got up and walked. And listen to me, he did. And it makes everything different. You think about that. I'm in. Well, tomorrow we'll talk about the evidences for the resurrection. Hey, listen, if you're not a part of our Key Life Tape family, I'd love for you to be a part of it. Let me tell you what it is. I teach the Bible. Now, these tapes are not the tapes of the broadcast. You can subscribe to those, and if you ask us how, we'll tell you how. But in places where I teach the Bible, we take those, and we send them out to our Key Life Tape family. And every few weeks, you get a tape with two messages on them automatically. And they're absolutely free. And once you're on the list, you stay on it as long as you want. And they keep coming automatically. If you'd like to be a part of Key Life Tapes, call 1-800-KEY-LIFE 24 hours a day or write Key Life Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3. Or you can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address. And as I said, they're absolutely free. And this is an expensive ministry. It really is. And I want you to know we don't have any slush funds. Nobody is making big bucks around here. We squeeze every dime to make it seen for the glory of God. So if you help us, you help your brothers and sisters in Christ. You can charge a contribution, your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card included in your envelope. For any contribution of any size, when you request it, I'll send you the cassette teaching, What Good Is Guilt. Hey, guys, I got to go. Key Life is a production of Key Life Network.